Season 7 bonus episode, The Why Work Musical. It's a monster mash. Beyond the Desk, uncovering the wild realities of psychosocial work exposures. Ooh, well, this is the first Why Musical Mash Remix episode. Listeners can experience highlights from past episodes with Alan, Trage and Sarah as they explore jaw-dropping workplace stories, from festive mishaps to wildlife encounters. What's the difference? These stories reveal the unpredictable psychosocial risks workers face and what it takes to navigate safety in a world where work can be anywhere. Listen to the entire seasons. Go back in time and pick your jaw back off the ground. Hello and welcome to the Why Work podcast series. You are listening to Trace Vitkovsky, Sarah Fazell and Alan Girl.
Beautiful day for this. Absolutely lovely.
I'm excited to talk about some of your stories, Trish.
Oh, stories we have. Well, Alan's got a few stories as well. There's one story Alan brought to my attention, certainly got my attention, and that was a very important decision. It relates to Christmas parties and what one should do as an employer and what one shouldn't do as an employer and vice versa, what one shouldn't do as an employee and so on and so forth. I like to call it bubbles of trouble.
The case is a case in the South Australian Employment Court. It relates to a hair and beauty business held a Christmas event, an off-site Christmas event, where all of the staff went on the Saturday, drank lots of alcohol. They even had a stripper perform for them, stayed the night, and on the evening of the Saturday, have a spa bath together.
I have to ask, Alan, who paid for the stripper?
Everything was paid for by the employer, who at that point in time was a Ms. Sloan. It's a bit hard to tell from the judgment, but it looks like the business was sold. So by the time the case was...
Alan, what's happening?
Sarah, sex is happening.
Why? Do I need to ask why? Here we go. Why?
Well, I'm interested in sex because that's where the salacious tales with serious implications are.
Why not?
Well, we often don't look at those situations because it makes us feel uncomfortable, but that's where you find really interesting issues of employment law and relationships between employers and employees.
And it's a very raw, primal way to discuss the human experience, isn't it?
And most of us, if not all of us, have those experiences.
And what's the verdict?
The verdict is I think we need to look at all aspects of work and make sure that we're caring for all those people around us.
Sex or no sex?
Safe sex.
Episode 7. Twin share double trouble. We continue along this non-traditional trajectory for men and women too, and the culture of alcohol intake. Work travel seems to erode behavioural boundaries, marvel Sarah. Trage and Alan are also perplexed by all this. Alan tells a very confronting story about a drunken non-sleep behaviours and the resulting triggering and trauma attached to that situation. That's a scene from Shogun, Sarah pipes in. Alan admits, I think I'd be pretty depressed if that happened to me. You really have to listen to this episode. A warning to our listeners, this episode contains references to acts deemed to be obscene or sexual in nature or otherwise offensive.
Let me take you from...
Doesn't fit neatly.
Let me take you to the next case. So we're going from the case where a worker got $4,300 for 8 weeks' salary...
Yes.
to another case where a worker got paid $430,000.
And was the previous one CPI adjusted?
So we're going to another case, $430,000.
Wow.
For a one-off incident.
Oh, you got my attention.
Okay. I think it's completely irrelevant, but interesting to observe that on that first case I told you about, it's a woman getting $4,300, and on this next case, it's a man getting $430,000.
Oh, what did he do? What happened? All right, let me compare. Right.
So do you want me to surprise you with it, or do you
let me surprise you. Racing. Are we talking about gender inequality? What are we talking about?
So this is in the tourism industry.
Okay.
And we're talking about one of the more palatial island resorts in Queensland. And I won't name the island because then I'll name the resort, but it is a fully reported case. It's one that went to the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeal, in fact. So it was before three judges, and it was a common law claim for compensation. And what we have is we have
$430,000.
Yeah, you just wait to see what it was. What was their
experience? Yeah.
So we've got workers on the island who care for the people on the island, and they work odd hours because they've got to look after the people on the island. We've got two workers who are sharing a room. So we've got a supervisor and the person who is supervised. Now, it's late at night. The supervisor finishes their shift at 11 p.m. They go to the bar and they have a couple of drinks before they're ready to go to sleep, just to wind down. It's about 1:15 a.m. when they go back to their room to go to sleep. Now, the other worker, so this is the junior worker, Sean, he's at the bar. He's already at the bar drinking when the supervisor gets there. And the supervisor didn't think Sean was drunk at that point in time, so didn't pay a lot of notice to it. Now, the supervisor goes back to his room, goes to sleep. There's two men, by the way. Supervisor goes back to his room, goes back to sleep. Then about 3 a.m., Sean comes back to the room.
Mm.
The supervisor wakes up hearing Sean vomiting in the bathroom.
Charming.
Mm. And the supervisor thinks nothing of it and goes back to sleep. Right.
Lucky he was able then to. Okay.
Half an hour later, so it's 3:30 a.m., the way it's described in the court case is the supervisor woke to a distressing sensation of being unable to breathe. He then realised that Sean, completely drunk, was urinating in his mouth.
Oh, okay.
What else has been happening with you guys?
Well, I've just been given a book, and this book is called Reality Television and the Art of Trivializing Work, Health, Safety, and Well-Being. We've been talking about this, and lo and behold, the author is Trace Tchaikovsky. Oh, wow. Amazing. Yay!
Is it by book, do you mean is it a physical, tangible item?
I'm holding it. I've got the weight of it in my hands right now. And as I open this, I've got this wonderful greeting here, Sarah. Who says OHS research is boring? Not us. Now, this one I have to look up. Enjoy this polemic exploration. Alan, you looked up the word polemic.
I did.
Tell me
it's
about
it. It's trash all over.
What's polemic? Sounds polarizing.
Emotional argumenting.
There you go. That's polarizing me. Trage.
Who says
polemic?
Who says you can't put passion into OHS?
Let's keep the party going, it says. So I'm looking forward to having a look at this. I know generally the sentiment, because we've talked about some cases where it seems like work health safety was sort of forgotten in the magnificence, the excitement of entertainment, right? The whole purpose of entertainment. So I think, is that pretty much what I'll discover in this book?
Absolutely. And I guess the busyness
of work, travel, sex, and bee stings, and the avatars that we choose to represent ourselves in our workplace is also thrown into the mix. Injuries can occur in the most unusual ways.
Conversation.
Yes.
Come on, Sarah.
You haven't
told us what your avatar is yet.
My avatar is in Snapchat, okay? My son introduced me to Snapchat. It's the only way that he'll communicate with me.
You use Snapchat. Wow.
So literally, I was trying to text him on WhatsApp, and I asked him if he got my text, and he's like, on what did you use? WhatsApp. Oh, gosh, that's just for 50-year-old women, Mom. And went, And I've got pink hair and a baseball cap, backwards, kind of skateboardy chick. Mates, try to contact me because I can see if you've got a profile, right?
Mm.
Because I don't want to. I can create all kinds of characters. I love playing with the photos. I can make myself ride a unicorn if I want to on that Snapchat.
Anyone that's listening, that you won't connect to them on Snapchat.
No, sorry, I will not.
I'm sorry, but I'm getting back to your avatar. And all I could think of was that is that Avril Lavigne song? He was a skater boy. I said, see you later, boy. That's all I could think of when you said that.
We're going to erode the boundaries where people feel some sense of connection, intimacy with you. Other times you might offend somebody and not even realize that you're doing that. So I have, that might be closer friend conversation and then Snapchat just one-on-one. But now all these boundaries are eroding where people are connecting. So you were asking before, well, hang on, is the metaverse somewhere out there not accessible? What about even just some of these apps where that's available to you? Do you have a Snapchat account?
I think I have an account on most social media.
And what's your character like? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. It's very sad. I'm in a suit.
You're a lawyer. We're going to change that.
We think about work in the traditional sense. The law is a fertile source of the way in which humans behave and perhaps shouldn't behave at times. But often we find all sorts of crazy cases. They may appear crazy, but when you strip them down to the basic elements, they're work-related cases, yet the facts around them are bizarre.
Yeah, so places and spaces matter. We talked about that for health, but what about all the problems with places and spaces? Not just the molds and the poor lighting or the fact that you're fighting for a desk with other family members, or maybe there are no dedicated desks and you're a student in a shared home, right? But you still have a work obligation. But places and spaces matter. You guys have some great cases.
Yeah, we've had some interesting cases come out of Western Australia involving native wildlife. So one case on a mine site where dingoes would come into the mine site, wild dingoes would come into the wild into the campsite. A worker was eating her lunch and the dingoes approached her. She felt not overly unsafe. She did leave the table but had a problem with her mobile phone, tried to shoo the dingo away, and then she was savaged by more than one dingo.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible. But working environment can be anywhere and you can have all sorts of hazards in that work environment. There's another one from Western Australia where a surveyor went out onto a mine site and was stung by a bee. And unfortunately, due to the way the circumstances played out, he passed away from that bee sting. So even a bee can be a hazard on a workplace. So, yes, we're seeing lots of unusual working environments.
So in that case, though, that person is conducting their work in a very traditional, familiar sense, something that would make sense to others, right?
Yeah. In that case, so in both cases, fines were imposed on the employer. And in the case with the bee sting, the employer and the company contracting the employer knew that the worker was allergic to bee stings. So it's not as if they know awareness.
Well, I say I'm allergic to bee stings and I was walking my dog and the bee stung her.
Anywhere.
She was walking along. Yes, I'm often watching because this person has beehives in his front yard. But anyway, that's another story. So I'm sort of always wondering, do I change my walking patterns? I'd be very mindful. I was listening intently to the new
return to work. Or we associate work as being digging holes and putting trenches in. Or we associate working from height. But they are very traditional linear concepts. We often forget that work, it consumes us. It surrounds us. A TV contestant is a worker as much as that rigger who is putting gaffer tape.
But okay, hang on. You're saying that didn't come across your computer? That case did not come across your desk?
No, where do you find these cases, Alan?
Okay,
where do you find them?
So his colleague is drunk purposely, urinates in him, or he just...
I think there is actually a medical condition where
you urinate in somebody's mouth?
Where you have difficulty in terms of you can sleepwalk in.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right.
Unusual places. There's no suggestion in the case that Sean was malicious. So just to be clear, there's no.
So he's sleepwalking.
This was not a prank. I think he was in an alcoholic stupor.
And sleepwalking. Not necessarily walking. Yeah, sleep something. Okay.
But in this case, the supervisor had a medical condition and he had two conditions. He had
cataplexy, and he had, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and narcolepsy. Narcolepsy, thank you.
The supervisor had narcolepsy.
Yes.
Wow. I have a friend who's had narcolepsy. Yeah.
I've got a friend. So he was managing those with medication, and so he was okay, he was stable, and then this event occurred, which triggered both those conditions off, and he became a mess.
So narcolepsy is where you just fall asleep in an unregulated, uncontrolled way.
Dinner table.
I'll give you this, a friend of mine, Mike, we're out for dinner, and there's so many Mike stories, by the way, but this is one, and the waitress comes along. Mike's in the middle of telling us a story. We're all having pasta. Pasta's, coming out to be delivered. And
he's telling the story.
No, we're all just chatting at the table. Waitress is coming and about to deliver the food, and Mike just crashes nose down in the middle of the coffee table, in the middle of the table. She's looking at us like as if he's drugged. I'm saying, no, really, you just got to move the pasta out of the way for the moment, right?
Yeah, don't let him drown.
I've been waiting for dinner for him to come to the house. And I'm like, where's Mike? Where's Mike? I go out and look on the porch, and he's fallen asleep trying to push the doorbell.
So dangerous.
On the front step, right? Okay. So you've got this person now who's got this trigger, this trauma trigger, return to narcolepsy. So probably can't work or drive here and after, right?
He did manage to recover and recover significantly, but he, because we like to put things in percentages in the workers' comp world or the compensation world, he had a deficit of 10 to 20% afterwards, after he'd recovered as much as he recovered. He had an adjustment disorder with mild mixed anxiety and depressed mood.
So with the police involved?
I think I'd be pretty depressed.
Absolutely.
That's a scene from Shogun, if you remember. If anybody watched the Shogun,
But were the police involved in this?
No, it wasn't a police situation because there was no malice in this. It was all very much an unfortunate incident. And the employers tried to argue, so this is the Island Resort, tried to add two arguments. One, they said that the supervisor's condition was pre-existing, so they should be required to compensate for that pre-existing condition.
But it's been triggered.
Correct.
Right,
so
okay.
So they lost that argument.
Right, okay.
And the second argument
let's just clarify, so that's an exacerbation of a pre-existing condition.
Correct,
okay.
Correct.
Now, how they could have solved all of this, simply separate rooms.
Now, correct. I've been working with construction teams or roadworks teams, and the guys have complained that they have not been given separate rooms when they've had to go remote. And, just talking about sleep and fatigue. They'll ask somebody like me to come talk about sleep fatigue and energy management. And they're like, I can tell you, number one, what would help is please give me a separate room.
Yep.
Basic dignity.
Also, just protect yourself.
Obvious is up there. Okay. I'm just saying. Nose. Right?
I'm just peeling it back. So
ear.
This was done. This guy wasn't sleepwalking. He was so drunk, he had no idea what he was doing.
Or sleepwalking.
Well, I don't actually know, but there's no suggestion in the case that Sean had acted maliciously. I can't see that in the court case at all.
Okay, but you also brought up a point about inequities. A male goes through some trauma, right?
Significant trauma. I don't want to play that down.
$430,000.
Yeah, he got $430,000.
Well, perhaps the woman working in a brothel has gone through some significant trauma, and she's getting $4,000.
She was correct. Correct. Right? It does seem to be enormous inequity there.
In how that's treated.
Yeah, but we're comparing like different
apples and oranges,
different jurisdictions, different. But it's interesting that such a low rate of pay with the first case.
Betrayage. You can cut that out.
I'm going to be listening to this one. But they tried to contest it. Yeah. So they said no. It's a
They had a second argument. I think the second argument's a pretty good one.
So pre-existing. Yeah.
They said that the event was so unusual and unpredictable that they shouldn't be held vicariously liable.
It is so off the charts.
Yeah.
Random.
And how was that treated?
Unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful.
They said, the court said,
so
this is the three judges, said that because the Island Resort was providing the accommodation, they had to provide appropriate accommodation and accommodation where people would be.
Advisory councils, design advisory councils, specialists in each of those types of business transformations, where if they're done poorly, you have occupational risk exposures. And people are being receptive to this. Our clients are being receptive. When I talk to industry, it's like, ah, right. So I'm presenting on this more and more. I've just written a book chapter on it. And in fact, Trej, we'll have another book to hold in our hands soon, because that's the mm-hmm. Good Work Design book of Transformative Work Design for Sustainable Futures, we're now calling it, with Elise Crawford co-editing. So that is a chapter talking about those causational pathways. Yes. And I think it's needed, because we're not that mature yet in understanding about the management strategies, the real what do you do with this information kind of part of psychosocial risks.
And we talk about all this this torrent of this body of knowledge coming out. It seems to be that the more things we know, the worse the statistics are in terms of death and injury. So I just want to know why the needle's not moving much in terms of injury. But I find it almost perverse that here are all these people, two of us included, we're trying to help, but the situation's more dire than ever. And I'll tell you something, though. Before we do that, when you said something before, and I thought I better not lose this thought, when you said every hazard, does an organisation need to look at every hazard? I want to point to Alan and ask Alan this question and go into Alan's world. Sarah's neatly compartmentalised four central pillars, but let's put that aside for a second. Does an organisation need to turn its mind to, Sarah's words, every hazard?
Hazard salad. Yeah.
Hazard salad. I'm loving salad. That.
And yeah, tell us about hazard salad. At the pointy end of business, which is where I play, it's a real problem. It's very difficult. And you talk about a hazard salad. A lot of this stuff about psychosocial is easy to understand but difficult to implement.
Absolutely.
Psychological claim and physical lacerations, and now it's got global attention.
Yeah.
And we're bringing up, this is pre-pandemic, correct? Mm. We're bringing up this whole concept, the test of it's not where you work but why, but is it places and spaces matter?
And can I just say, based on the court reports, so this injury happened in 2007, no one has ever done that sort of activity again since.
That's been filed for a claim anyway.
So suffice to say, it's obviously clear the employer did not induce, coerce or demand that person engage in that type of activity. But it's an interesting example of we're human, all too human, and it was clear, the court made it clear, this was not an issue about misconduct. However, the central issue was there just so much disconnectivity between the activity and you know, the remoteness of it. And it's interesting, though, the fact that it had to be debated right to the High Court. So clearly these are vexed issues. It's one thing to say, oh, well, it's a clear-cut case of compensation being denied. No, it was not clear-cut at all.
All these cases are very difficult. The cases where people are injured whilst away on a work trip. In this particular case, the High Court ended up debating if the light had fallen out of the wall onto her, she may have been successful in a claim, but she was unsuccessful because there was no part of her work duties that required her to pull on a light fitting in a wall.
So let's just pause and let's just reflect on that. Yeah. So theoretically, you may be having sex. You've been traveling for work, right? Something in the environment collapses on you, falls on you for no reason of your conscious doing.
Yeah,
right?
Sleep in the shower.
So then you're still not necessarily tested by the task for work. It's purely about the place and the space.
Correct, because work said you need to go to, we will book your hotel, we will book your flight, like it's happening, I'm going to Tuesday, it's all booked for me. So I reasonably expect, for example,
just leave the light fittings alone.
Don't touch the fittings.
For example, the shower curtain or screen not to fall on me.
Not to get electrocuted when you put the light switch on the wall.
But
right?
If I decide to manipulate that shower screen or that, if I decide to do something that is beyond the controller, then it's correct. A different kettle of fish.
I'm getting visuals. Okay.
For the record, I haven't moved to any showers.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trej, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases,
and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.